I'm feeling low, darling, and I wanna go way down south, yeah, baby, in Birmingham. I mean south, honey, in Alabama, but no place where the people go to get by, yes, that southern style to get mild, honey, way down in Birmingham. I mean south now, baby, I means in Alabama, just Graham.
We're hearing Atlanta musician Colonel Bruce Hampton singing and playing guitar on Basically Frightened. And if you don't know the Colonel, he is one of Atlanta's biggest characters, a so-called surrealist musician. He's been dubbed the granddaddy of the jam scene. One of his many oddities is his and his followers' pseudo-religious philosophy of Zambiland.
It's sort of our absurd religious, okay? It's basically built on nonsense. It's a creative process. One and one is two, but what's one?
That's the Colonel himself. Another remarkable thing about Colonel Bruce Hampton is that he knows practically every notable person from Atlanta. And it's like he's built into the city. Even WABE's building. He shared this fun fact before our interview began.
I went to kindergarten here in 1952.
Oh, did you?
In this building.
Oh, how amazing.
With Billy Payne and Johnny Isaacson. Isn't that weird?
Oh, wow.
Imagine those future stars toddling around here.
This was Rock Springs Kindergarten, and then it was Rock Springs Elementary on Lindbergh for
exactly.
A number of years, yeah.
That other voice you're hearing is Adina Irwin, Vice President and COO of the Fox Theater. The Fox Theater is hosting Colonel Bruce's 70th birthday show tonight, and it will be quite an event. Members of Widespread Panic, the Allman Brothers Band, Phish, REM, and many others will join the Colonel on stage. Apparently, actor Billy Bob Thornton will also make an appearance. And they'll all be engaged in the art of the jam. Colonel Bruce gave a brief history.
It really started with Fats Waller in the 20s, as far back as I can go and see where it happened. And instead of just noodling in one key, they were actually composing. Every 2 minutes or 12 bars would be a different tune, and they would all listen. Today, I wouldn't call jamming what it was then. And that was the improvisational. I mean, they'd go into Bach, out of a New Orleans. All of a sudden, somebody would hit a Bach lick, and they'd go to that for 3 minutes. That's not done as much today. You don't have the musicianship you did then.
It requires so much concentration.
It requires a lot of listening and sensitivity.
Truly being in the moment, playing in the moment, and
right.
Beyond the moment,
well,
thinking ahead.
You have to anticipate the moment. It's like a fast break with a basketball team. Who's going to get the ball? You're flying down there, and you have to anticipate.
I've heard from artists in varying fields that Atlanta has an artist flight problem, and that after success here, people tend to move to other places, move to bigger cities, move to the coasts. Yet here you are, a 70-year-old veteran of Atlanta's music scene. What is it about Atlanta or Georgia that made you want to stay here?
Well, I've lived in San Francisco, New York, and Florida, but the family came in here in 1820 in Decatur, so I have roots, and I've tried to leave. I can't. I don't know. The great thing about Atlanta, you can go 50 miles in any direction and work, and then go another 50. And you move to Texas, you can't do that. You move to California, you can't do that. But you can work forever. Just every 50 miles, you have opportunity to play. Athens, you can play. Savannah, Rome. I mean, you move to North Dakota, there's two places to play. And Australia, friends of mine live there, and they have seven-hour drives to the next gig.
Well, speaking of North Dakota, is Billy Bob Thornton really going to be here?
Yeah, oh yeah, Billy's here. Yeah, he was here the other day. Yeah, yeah, yeah. And wasn't he great in Fargo? Did you see it?
Oh my God! Yes, clearly he. I mean, there's mutual admiration going with you two. The show will be at the Fox Theater. Does that venue have particular meaning for you, having honed your musical career?
In 1959, I saw Elvis Presley there. So I go way back, and I used to go, you know, when I was a kid. It was, what, a dime to get in. And there was a bowling alley next to it called Lucky Strike that had duck pens. So I was there in like 55 and 56 and doing duck pens, and we'd do that and then go to the theater for a dime. Yeah, so the Fox Theater has a lot of memories to me.
A special place. Dina, you are the vice president and general manager of the Fox, and the proceeds of this special event are actually benefiting the Fox Theater Institute. What is that program, Adina?
So the Fox Theater Institute is the way that the Fox pays it forward. The Fox was saved by the community in the mid-70s. And so we know what a good, thriving, historic theater can do for a community. We've seen what it's done for Midtown Atlanta and how it continues to thrive. And the Fox Theater Institute aims to try to support those historic theaters around the state of Georgia. There are probably about 275 historic theaters still standing in the state of Georgia. Some of them are open, some are operating as other types of businesses, but probably about 100 to 150 are open and operating as theaters. And so, you know, our slogan is revitalizing communities one theater at a time. And we support these theaters. We support arts presenters to keep the artistic pulse going in these communities and bringing artists like Colonel Bruce and many other artists to these communities around the state of Georgia, making it affordable for them to be able to host them and that they have the houses to host these great artists.
Colonel Bruce, why is theater preservation important, do you think?
It's culture. I mean, gosh, let's keep the culture. I remember in the middle 70s, a guy named Ed Nigri owned Heron's Restaurant, was really instrumental in saving that. AT&T was going to go buy, you know, in a week or two. And thank goodness it was, you know, saved. I mean, we just need everything of the arts and culture we can get. I've got to ask you a question that's bothered me for 60 years. Mm-hmm. Rico Caruso played the Fox in the 20s. And someone has told me, break the myth for me, there was a tunnel that was built under the Fox that he took. Is that true or not? It's been urban legend.
I don't think so. There are some tunnels under the Fox.
Oh, yeah, there is.
There are some tunnels under the Fox, but not one that we would take artists.
Goes to Georgian Terrace.
No, not one that goes to the Georgian Terrace.
I've heard that forever.
Oh. Well, not that we found.
Well, it was raining, and he was, you know, prissy about it and said, let's take the tunnel. Or they had him build a tunnel. Mm-hmm. He stayed there a year, I think. And he sang there, you know, 5-6 nights a week and wanted a tunnel to go. But I'm sure it's urban legend.
I think it's urban legend, but you know, there are a lot of mysteries about the Fox.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
So 70 is quite a milestone. And you've been at this for 50 years.
53 years.
You were 17 years old when you started out. What have been highlights, if you can just list a few for us.
There's been so many. I guess the second job I ever played, I was 16 and I had no idea what I was doing. And guitarist invited me, and I had so much fun the first night. In the next 50 years, I was trying to find the tonal center and what music was. But we opened, we were playing a Georgia Tech fraternity, and there was a band with Johnny Jenkins and J-Mo of the Allman Brothers and Otis Redding on bass. And I went, oh, that's how it's done.
Wow.
And I said, that's the bar. And I said, I don't know anybody will ever hit that bar again. And he was the chauffeur for Phil Walden, who ran Capricorn Records. And he kept pulling his coat and said, I want to play bass. The bass player was sick. And he got up and he started managing Otis that second. So my first week was an amazing highlight.
Yeah, I was.
And I've had many others too. I mean, thousands of them. It's actually a miracle, and I'm really lucky. I'm not good enough to be humble. So,
well, thinking back on Peachtree Street when, you know, you were kind of helping to create Atlanta's Haight-Ashbury. What are some recollections you have? Do you have recollections?
Well, yeah, I was always a nerd, so I was never quite into that. But I mean, there was us, the Allman Brothers, and the Grateful Dead. I got a poster the other day, Jackie Wilson, and we played for free in the park, and there'd be 5,000 or 6,000 people on a Sunday, and the Allman Brothers and us must have done it 5 or 6 times, and. Played for free in the park. There was a thing to do, and it was spectacular. It was fantastic. You know, about a year. It was really magical.
But you weren't paid.
No, we weren't paid. No.
And yet, here you were bringing this masterful music to thousands of Atlantans gathering and paving the way for future rock concerts in Piedmont Park.
Yeah, I wish they'd open it back up, and I wish they'd have a free concert. I don't know if it could work again, but just the intent was perfect. And that's what music is to me, is intention. I don't know what good or bad is, you know, but intention, that's the bottom line of it.
I want to wish you a very happy birthday.
Oh, thank you so much.
Congratulate you on a long career, and you have these fantastic sessions that you're hosting at the Vista Room.
Yes.
And I want to remind you that after the Middle Ages comes the Renaissance.
Let's hope. Let's have faith, yes.
I need to head down on Lucky Street.
Colonel Bruce Hampton's 70th birthday show is at the Fox Theater tonight. We just heard from Bruce and the Fox Theater's vice president and COO, Adina Irwin.